It's 8:34.
Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lycoparo Valley Culture Show. Dick Newman bringing you the report again this morning with Paul Ramo at his usual position at the control panel. Remember, we start the Culture Show in the spring at 8:30 and then pick it up at a little about 5 after 9 to finish out. With 7 sports, we need at least another half hour. Start things off here today with Kip Stender and girls golf. And let's hear about your week, Kip.
Thanks, Dick. Excuse me. We had one event this past week. It was an 18-hole event in Marshall at the Marshall Invitational. The girls finished 4th out of 10 teams, and we shaved 20 strokes off of our last 18-hole event in Wilmer the week before. So some nice improvement with the ladies, and overall we thought the golf, the beautiful course, Marshall's course, was in great shape, and they always have a nice course there and do a good job, but did a nice job. Lost a lot of putts on the greens, a lot of 2-3 putts, 4 putts or more sometimes. Very fast greens, and it's hard to go from slower greens or you know, to faster greens. So we will work on that and continue to improve that part of our game. Dawson won the event with a very nice score of a 328. Marshall was second with a 391. Murray County Central, 399. We were fourth with a 406. RTR, 417. Bold, 438. Marshall 2 was a second team, 440. And Lakeview was 443. So that was a good day for us. We bumped ahead of RTR, which I think we placed behind, in Lakeview down in Worthington. And so the girls are improving. They're continuing to improve. Leading the Eagles was Molly Hoverson with a 90. Peyton Sachs finished 10th with a 96. And Molly finished 5th, by the way. Kate Alstead shot a 102 with finishing 18th. Kaylee Nelson, 130 for 45th. Macy Zarbuck, 118 in 38th place. And Hannah Oy, 137 for 47th. So that gives us 3 invitationals we've participated in so far, and we start the conference this coming Monday in Madison. So if you want to see some good golf, come on out to the golf course. The Dawson girls team is very solid, very, very good. Get to see some great golfers there, state champ returning, and we've got some good golfers too. So you'll see that, and then on the boys' side, Barry will talk about it, I'm sure, but a couple really good teams on that side of it. 4:30 on Monday.
Okay.
Out at the Madison Country Club.
Okay.
And then we head to Ortonville on Tuesday for our second conference meet at 4:30 also.
Okay. And junior high, or?
Yeah, JV junior high will have their first meet, hopefully, if the weather looks good already. They'll have their first one Tuesday in Wilmer, and then Friday, I believe it's Ortonville where they go, or nope, let me look here real quick. They go to Dawson on Friday.
Okay. Well, best of luck, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning, Kip.
Thanks, Dick.
Kip Stender on girls golf. Barry Bessonen is in the studio, and he'll be talking about the boys' side.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Easter's coming, and this week's weekly specials at the Country Butcher are here, and they're as fresh as springtime. Whether you're cooking up a feast or building the ultimate snack board, the Country Butcher in Dawson has you covered. This week at the Country Butcher, deli meats are 10% off, and ham loaf also 10% off. So hop on in and fill your basket. We'll help you make this Easter extra tasty. That's the Country Butcher, located in downtown Dawson. Here's a special prayer for you at Easter time from your friends at Calvary Baptist Church in Madison. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. May God richly bless your heart, your home, and those you love with lasting happiness. Have a joyous Easter and a beautiful spring. This message brought to you by your friends at Calvary Baptist Church in Madison.
Hello, baby!
Rock and roll lovers, mark your calendars. This Saturday at 7 p.m. Central, the Flip Side is coming to KLQP. Flip Werpy will be spinning 2 hours of the best tunes from 1954 to 1963. The hits, the memories, the music you love. Don't miss it, Saturday night at 7, the Flip Side.
He's had a pretty face and a ponytail hanging down.
Back here at the studio with Boys Golf and Barry Besnan, and a couple of events this past week, Barry.
Yeah, we had two events. Started out on Wednesday. We were supposed to play Monday at Marshall, but that was postponed because of the weather conditions on Monday. So they moved it to Wednesday, so we were able to go down there, and it was vastly different. Actually, it was a very nice day to play. Very little wind, and the sun was shining. And I had 15 teams. We ended up fifth out of 15 teams. Tournament was won by the home school, Marshall, with 296. Great score, outstanding score for them. Lakeview was second, Dawson Boyd third, CMCS fourth. We were fifth, and behind us was Canby, Marshall JV, Minneota, Murray County Central, RTR, YME, McRae, Bold, RCW, and TMB. Our team scored 335, same thing we shot our first time out, which wasn't bad. Had a few hiccups on the course, a few double bogeys from some guys in some spots they were a little disappointed in. I think Griffin Graham said he had like six double bogeys on the day. And a few other spots, Carson Bestman had a stretch. He had five bogeys in a row. He led us with 74, two over par with five bogeys in a row. Shot 34 on the front. Two under par, which was good for seventh place. Then he was backed up with Arndt shot 86. Caden Stender also shot 86. Griffin with those doubles shot 89. Grant Bierke shot 90, and Gavin Carl shot 93. It was kind of a round where some of our scores, we had two guys that played well on one side and a couple guys that didn't, and then they would flip it, and the two guys that didn't play well on one side played well in the other, but you got to count, the whole 18. If we could have broke it down, we'd have been much better. But it had to go that way. But it was a nice day. It was a beautiful day, and as Kip said, beautiful course, great conditions. The fairways are immaculate already, and greens were in great shape. And kids said greens were probably a little slower than we saw in Worthington, but. Still a good, good greens to be putting on with some slope and just a good overall day. We didn't have much time to think about it because we had to turn around and play the next day. Which was actually good. They were a little frustrated and disappointed with a couple of things that maybe they felt they could have done better. So we turned around and went to Minneota on Thursday. Minneota had their invite. With basically it was mainly Camden teams plus RTR. So it was a 9-team event. We ended up coming in tied for second with Lakeview with our season low 321. So we had a good score. Interesting conditions. We stocked. It was beautiful. But as it went on, you felt the wind kind of moving around. And after about 10 holes, all of a sudden it became a hurricane. And it went from calm to about 35 mile an hour winds in a matter of minutes. It was really quick. And so they had to play the last holes in really very, very strong winds. And for some people, it helped, and some people it hurt. Team-wise, Dawson Boyd beat us by two at 319. It seemed like I think they got ahead, and then they kind of held on when the wind came up. We were tied for second with Lakeview at 321. Then it was Canby, 344 was in fourth, followed by Minnesota, YME, RTR, McRae, and RCW. Individually for us, we were led by Carson Besson and shot even par, 72 to come in second, behind Carson Bowl, Lakeview, who shot 8 under, 64. Carson's round, he started off a little rough in the nice conditions. He was 3 over after 6, played his last 12 and 3 under, and probably could have had a couple more in there. I watched him 3 putt for par on a hole. He drove a green and a couple other opportunities. He actually almost had a double eagle, too. He hit the bottom of the flag stick with his second shot on a par 5. It was about 2 inches off the ground, and he did make birdie. But nice finish, and actually played in those last 8 holes in the wind. He was 2 under in the wind, so played very well in the conditions. And we went to Gavin Carl, a great day with an 82. He really played well as also for us. Griffin Kranz, shot 82. Also had a good day, for us, with that 82. Noah Arndt was 85. He was one. He was playing really well until the wind came up, and I think he's like 3 over through 10 holes, and then the wind got him the other way a little bit and ended up with 85. But still, Noah showing progress and showing that he can make some pars and get around the golf course. Ryan Bierke, filling in that day, shot 92, first varsity event. Good score for Ryan Bierke. Very happy with what he did. I think there were some nerves on the greens with him. I watched him with the putter. Had a couple of 3 putts in there that maybe shouldn't have, but it's first time. And then Aaron Bond also played. He shot 93. Having those two as 8th graders come in and fill in the 4, 5, 6 spots and be able to play in the low 90s is very encouraging, and especially with the limited experience. That was Ryan's first meet and Aaron's second meet. So just encouraging to know that there's that depth there, and those two are going to be very good players, and just getting them that experience and them being able to perform at that level, already is great for us. So but that round of things, like I said, we're pleased with the overall team score coming in 321, which is a great score early in the year like this, and especially when the way the conditions changed as drastically as they did mid round.
Okay. Then next week?
Next week we're busy. We have the conference meets. Monday we're at home in Madison, as Kip mentioned, the 4:30 start out at Madison Country Club. Should be a good battle. We've got probably the 3 top teams in the section in our half of the conference, and ourselves, Dawson Boyd, and CMCS. And we'll probably take turns, taking swings at each other all spring. So it'd be good to have the 3 teams together plus some great individual players. Tuesday we go to Ortonville for conference meet at 4:30, and then Thursday, Friday we have the annual 2-day tournament. We go to the New London Spicer Wilmer Invite. So Thursday, we play at Little Crow in New London. I think we tee off at 11 o'clock. Pretty big field, wide range. You got 3 A schools from like Moorhead and Lakeville South, and then you get Hutchinson and Wilmer, and then you get some more local teams that are a little bigger, like Minnewaska, Morris, and then we've got a few section teams like Dawson and I think Community Christian's going to be there, and Benson might be there. So it's kind of a wide range of teams. Okay. So Friday we tee off at 9:30 at Eagle Creek and Wilmer.
Okay. Well, best of luck in those 4 events, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning, Barry.
All right.
Barry Bessonen on Boys Golf, and after this break, we'll be talking tennis.
Here's an Easter wish for you from your friends at Madison Bottling Company of Madison, Minnesota. This time of year renews our hope in all God has ahead, for we were blessed eternally when Christ rose from the dead. So may your trust in Him remain constant, strong, and true, for He is working out His best as He lives His life in you. Wishing you a happy and blessed Easter from your friends at Madison Bottling Company, Madison, Minnesota.
Tuesday, we have Dawson Boyd baseball action for you as the Dawson Boyd Blackjacks host the Tracy Milroy Battleton Panthers. 4:30, first pitch from Nelson Field. That's Tuesday afternoon, 4:30, the Blackjacks and the Panthers in a Camden Conference baseball matchup. Tune in. Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to turn our attention to Dawson Boyd, La Caprera Valley Boys Tennis, with head coach Austin Ireland. He joins us by phone. Good morning, Austin.
Good morning.
Well, you got some matches in this week again.
Yes, we did. That was a good week for that.
A little cool out?
Yeah, and then, of course, that wind's always got to be there. Just a reminder, hey, you're in the prairie here.
So. Yeah, with a strong wind, playing tennis probably isn't the best, right?
Yeah, it seems like that wind's always in the spring here. It's always there. So.
All right. Well, tell us how the bad guys did this week.
Oh, they did well on Saturday. We went down to that double tournament down in Worthington. And you know how that worked was you played everybody, but you only played 9 games. So your score would tally up, you know, however many games you throughout the match. We had some good matchups there. We had started from the bottom here. We had Landon Hersham and Max Botham. We had Thatcher Johnson and Aiden Menning. We had Cole Percy and Aaron Will, Tony Reap and Thomas Felton, Brody Botham and Mitchell Myers, Brody Nelson and Hudson Geezy, and Luke Stock and Gunner. And it was a good time. We ended up taking first and that, beating the other teams there. That was a Worthington and YME. Pipestone usually is there, but they didn't make it this year. They had scheduling conflicts. It was kind of fun. Cole Percy and Aaron Will, they beat everybody 5-4. But, you know, Thatcher Johnson and Aiden Menning, they lost to them 5-4, but they scored more points, ended up beating them in the medal, in the point system, the final point system, because when they beat some kids like 7-2, something like that. So it was kind of fun, like, you lost to somebody, but yet again, you beat him in the final standings. So that was kind of fun. We had Brody Botham and Mitchell Myers ended up taking, they scored the most points of anybody on that team. So they got gold, and as a team, we got gold. So it was a fun experience. You know, it was a Saturday, a long day, especially for those musical kids. But good reps, and it was good weather for that.
Yeah, so good outcome there for the bad guys, right?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Some hardware. And then Monday, and then Monday we went to South Dakota. We do things differently there. But we threw our JV on first, and it was raining off and on. And so we waited a little bit, and then we had a couple of rounds of JV, some good matches there. And then, ended up getting rained out, so the varsity didn't play. So we'll have to go back there on the 25th. I feel bad for those 6 varsity guys, but... he kind of sat around away, but it was good for his not a junior high JV stuff. Thatcher Johnson had a good match. Him and Max Bolly played doubles. They won a match. Gannon Andrews had a really fun singles match. It was really close. Went to the tiebreaker. Aiden Manning kind of great. So it was a good experience for some JVs. Yeah, I do like how the South Dakota, they play singles and doubles. So the varsity team really only needs 6 guys. So that's why we have 6 guys who didn't play. They're going to play on the 25th. Hopefully, weather permitting. This is against Millbank. It was scheduled for the 7th of April. That got rained out. We tried on the 14th. That got rained out, so we'll try again the third time. And if it doesn't work, I think we say forget about it. but it's always fun. It's always good with Millbank and us. It's been a while since we've got it in. Usually it's the early part of the year, and usually it's rained out. So, so that was on Monday.
Okay.
Tuesday, we went to... Minnewaska, and they got that. They're undefeated streak, like the Goldberg WCW days. They're undefeated. They're really good. And we got blanked 7-0, as most people do against Millbank, Minnewaska. Some good points, though. Like Gunnar Olsen at 1 singles, and him and Luke Stock, 1 and 2 singles. They couldn't do anything. He'd come up to the net after he hit it, and then they'd lob it over you. Good passing shot. We had them at 1 and 2 singles. We had Brody Botham at 3rd singles. He played that Thorfinson. Actually had a couple games off him there. But played pretty solidly, but it's just tough over there in the Minnewaska.
Mm-hmm.
We had Thatcher Johnson. He was at 4 singles. It's kind of his first varsity match, and got a couple games off that first set. So you know, it's a good experience for him, and to grow and to get a couple games off Minnewaska was huge. You know, we had our one doubles with Brody Nelson and Upton Geezy. You know, they play well together, but not enough to get to win a set. Our second doubles, they didn't play too hot. Mitchell and Tony, we'll have to maybe think about putting them together again. But our third doubles was fun. We had Aiden Manning and Thomas Felton, and they seemed to gel well together. They got quite a few games. They lost 6-2, 6-2. So they got a couple games off them. So maybe that's something to look forward to. You know, it's going to be interesting going forward. It's what we're going to do that bottom half of the lineup. You know, it's, we got a lot of good experience guys too, and good athletes. So we're going to have to try to figure that out as the season goes on.
Okay. All right. Well, that was a kind of a busy week for you, huh?
Yeah. We also played another one on Thursday too.
Okay.
Yeah, we played New London Spicer, losing 6-1. It was a good time. Gunnar Olsen picked up the win for us at one single. That's always a tough, your number one singles, you're going against their toughest guy. Gunnar ended up winning 6-3, 6-3 to Jovio Martinez, a kid who's really hit the ball really well. Just being a good Gunnar is, and coming up, and he wasn't, the New England kid wasn't able to hit his lobs, and, you know, Gunnar was doing a nice job putting it away. Two singles we had, Luke Stock, he ended up losing 6-2, 6-2. Got a couple games off him, just kind of struggled towards the end of finding that consistency. And, you know, his first serve, when it hits, you know, good things happen to us. But it was a little bit windy there, too. We had third singles. We switched up our number one doubles. We switched them up. We had Brody Nelson playing at third singles. Lost 6-2, 6-2. And we had Hudson Geezy playing his first ever singles varsity match. He ended up losing 6-2, 6-2 as well. So a couple of things we got to work on. You know, it's good to get that exposure. You know, in section time, you get three lineups that you can only use those three. So that's maybe one we're going to tinker with. You know, maybe have our one double split them up to kind of stack up our single spot. And then at one doubles, we had Brody Boston and Mitchell Myers. They ended up taking it to three sets. That was kind of entertaining. It was kind of watching Laurel and Hardy there. Pretty entertaining, comical group there. But they lost the first set 7-5. Won the second set. They ended up winning that 6-4, and then lost in that full third set 6-2. Then we had Thomas Felton was gone, so we had to switch up the lineup a little bit. We put Thatcher Johnson in with Tony Reed. That actually worked out pretty good. I ended up losing the first set of tiebreaker 7-5, and then losing in that second set. I believe it was 6-3. But, you know, we have a lot of experience, and then Thatcher's young, but he's got a lot of athleticism. It was kind of fun to mix those two together. Almost took a set off, like I said, lost 7-4 in the tiebreaker in the first set. And then, the third doubles, we had Cole Percy and Aiden Manning. We ended up losing 6-2, 6-1. And we'll see how it goes. Like I said, those guys have never played together before, and we still got to figure out that bottom half lineup, like I said earlier. But just give it time to gel. I know everything's busy in the season, so maybe we can get some challenge matches out. Got to figure out some more of the lineup situations. But, you know, kids grow, too. I mean, we've got a couple first-year kids out. You know, 2 weeks ago, where they were to where they are now, it's completely different. So,
Okay. All right. What's up next? What's up this week?
So we got Tuesday, we have YME. We go down to Granite and play YME. That's going to be good for, you know, section placement. This should be a good one. You know, last year, we kind of split the season series 1-1. So they didn't lose anybody, and neither did we. So it's going to be a close matchup there. And then on Thursday, we take on Benson and Benson there. And, they lost a bunch, but they're coming into the season, they're going to be a three-headed monster. Well, now they got a foreign exchange student who is undefeated on the year, so now they're a four horsemen of the apocalypse here. So they're going to be tough, but just got to go out and do our thing and try to get some conference points.
Okay.
And then Friday, we're going to try to get that Milbank one rescheduled. We'll see how the weather does. So.
Okay, so busy week again for the Dawson Boyd Locker Pro Boys Tennis Team then.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, anything else, Austin, or you cover everything?
No, this thing. Thanks to the ADs and assistant coach Brandon Hurley doing a great job, and hard to communicate and reschedule everything. It's crazy this time of year. It's absolutely nuts. There's everything going on, and two or three times a week there's matches. There's tennis matches. I'm sure there's baseball, softball games, golf meets, track meets. I'm sure there's everything just going on. So
right. Okay, we'll talk to you next Saturday then, Austin.
Yeah, big plus.
All right, head coach Austin Ireland, the Dawson Boyd La Caprile Valley Boys Tennis Team. We'll take a break. Be back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
This is KLQP, Madison Dawson. Time for news and weather brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
A timeout from the High Court. I'm Paul Stevens, Fox News. The U.S. Supreme Court early today blocking any new deportations of Venezuelans currently in Texas using an 18th century war act called the Alien Enemies Act.
The justices instructed the Trump administration to not remove Venezuelans held in the Blue Bonnet Detention Center until further order of the court. Justices Thomas and Alito dissented. The court's ruling comes after an emergency appeal from the ACLU, arguing federal immigration authorities appear to be working to resume the removal of migrants from the United States under the Alien Enemies Act. Two federal judges earlier declined to step in, and the U.S. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals has not made any decision. The Alien Enemies Act has only been invoked three previous times in U.S. history, with the most recent being during World War II to hold Japanese-American civilians in internment camps. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
Maryland Democratic Senator Chris Van Hollen saying the margaritas were fake, but the outrage is real. Van Hollen returning to the U.S. after getting an audience with a deported illegal immigrant, Kilmar Abrego Garcia, Fox's Madeline Rivera.
President Trump is doubling down on the allegations of MS-13, though Abrego Garcia's lawyers maintain he has not been charged with any crime in any country. Van Hollen also addressing what has been dubbed in some reports as Margarita Gate. It comes after photos were captured of the two with what looked like margaritas on the table during their meeting.
Let me just be very clear. Neither of us touched the drinks that were in front of us.
Van Hollen accused the Trump administration of distraction.
And the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that the Trump White House must facilitate Garcia's return, though the president of El Salvador denied his release. America's listening to Fox News.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Failla, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app. The voices America trusts. Download it.
Thinking of building a pole barn, garage, home addition, or deck? Think of Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company. They're your one-stop building headquarters. They can draw up your plans, figure an estimate free. They do houses, additions, cabinetry, floor coverings, and garages. Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company for all your building needs, paints, building materials, fencing. Give them a call at 507-275-3359. That's area code 507-275-3359. For all your building needs, it's Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company, located downtown Hendricks, Minnesota.
Here's your Q92 country weather for western Minnesota and eastern South Dakota. Mainly clear today with a high of 58. Winds out of the west around 5 miles per hour. Lows level off around 35 tonight. Daytime highs approaching 63 tomorrow. Cloudy skies expected. Ample sunshine expected Monday with a high of 66. 69, slight chance for showers Tuesday. Looking further out, 67 Wednesday, 61 Thursday, and 66 on Friday. To recap, high of 58 today, lows level off around 35 tonight, highs reach 63 tomorrow. From the Weatherology, weather's Paul Frombly on Q92 Country. Currently 36.
News and weather has been brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, Hendricks, Minnesota.
Bless us, O Lord, in a sweet springtime half the world away. Jesus Christ arose for us at the break of day. Now again at springtime, bending low we pray. Bless us, Lord of Easter, on thy Easter day. This special Easter message comes to you from your friends at Minnesota Valley Light and Power Cooperative, YREC, headquartered in Montevideo, wishing you a very blessed Easter.
This message for Easter comes to you from Zarbach Funeral Home and Memorials in Madison. Easter changes everything, for without Easter, death would still reign. We would still be in our trespasses and sins, and our faith and hope would be in vain. For without Easter, Jesus is not raised from the dead, but Jesus is raised from the dead. Therefore, darkness is overcome with light, wrath with peace, fear with hope, angst with rest, sadness with joy, hatred with love, sin with righteousness, and death with life. Easter changes everything, redefines everything, and determines everything. Zarbach Funeral Home and Memorials in Madison wish you a happy and blessed Easter.
Showing at the Grand Theater in Madison, Friday, April 18th through Monday, April 21st in Theater 1. It's a Minecraft movie rated PG. That's Minecraft in Theater Number 1. Held over in Theater Number 2, great Easter movie, King of Kings, an animated Christian film. King of Kings in Theater Number 2. Both show once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand. Madison Area Chamber of Commerce invites you to Madison for Easter Egg Excitement. Kids Easter Egg Hunt, Saturday, April 19th at Slen Park, the swimming pool park. Registration for prizes at 9:30 a.m. The hunt starts at 10 a.m. So bring the kids, come on over for the fun, and get in the Easter spirit with Easter Egg Excitement, the Easter Egg Hunt, put on by the Madison Area Chamber of Commerce, Saturday, April 19th.
The time now, 9:06.
Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning once again, and welcome to the Lacaparo Valley Culture Show. And once again, is in the spring. We've already had three coaches on, starting at 8:30, and with seven sports in the spring, 55 minutes just doesn't do justice to the coach, what the coaches have to say about. So we've started at 8:30, and then take a little break at the top of the hour, and then get the rest of the coaches on between 9 and 10. So we're leading off with, that's a good baseball term, with Darby Biergun and talking baseball. A couple ball games at home this past week.
Yeah, that's right. We were able to have two games at home. We started out Tuesday with Tracy Milroy at home, and which is a conference game, and then Hancock came down for a non-conference game on Thursday. So Tuesday, TMB came down. We knew that they were going to be a solid team. We've heard that they have some pretty good arms, and just from last year's team that we saw, we figured that they'd be a difficult game for us, or a good conference matchup. We started out well. We got two runs in the first and four in the second, and everything felt like it was going our way, and then it just kind of the faucet kind of turned off. We lost our hits and had some mental errors and some physical errors, and we ended up losing 8-6. TMB were able to get four runs in the third, so we were still up 6-4 after that, and they were scratched one across in the sixth, so we were still up 6-5, and then they scored three runs in the seventh inning, and we weren't able to get back from that, so we ended up losing 6-8. So that was our first conference loss of the year, but our second section loss, and they were back to back. So still young in the season, and we're learning from our mistakes, like we talked about last time, and we talk about as a team, as long as we learn from these mistakes so they don't happen repeatedly, and especially towards the end of the year when it matters more. Hitting on the day, Dylan Keimig was 1-for-2 with two runs and a stolen base. Tyler Earp was 1-for-3 with two runs and a stolen base. Middle lineup this week really, really shined for us for hitting. Davis Patzer was 1-for-3 with two RBIs. I should have said Tyler Earp had an RBI also. Landon Weber was 2-for-3 with a double sacrifice and two RBIs. Brock Bjerknield was 1-for-4. and Matt Arndt scored a run. So our 2-3-4 hitters ended up with five RBIs in that game out of the six. So that was important for us. And on Thursday, our middle lineup had a bunch of RBIs we'll talk about later here. So it's good to see them swinging the bat well. Pitching on the day, Brock Biernelt started for us. It was that third inning that he ended up throwing more pitches. As coaching staff, we sat down and we figured out that we probably ended up getting six outs in that inning when we should have been out of it earlier, which would have limited his pitch count. We are still watching it since it's early in the year. He went a little bit higher than what we wanted him to, so you could tell the fatigue was set in a little bit. But Brock went 5 2/3, struck out 7, walked 1, gave up 4 hits, 5 runs, but only 1 was earned, and that's that part where we're talking about he probably had to throw a lot more pitches than he had to. Matt Arndt came in and tried to get a few outs for us. Just wasn't working for him, so we went to Davis Patzer, who got us out of a jam in the 6th, I believe it was. He threw 1 1/3, struck out 4, walked 1, gave up 2 hits, and gave up 3 runs, and those 3 were earned. And there was some mental lapse in there, too, that they go down as earned runs, but we probably should have been out of that inning without giving up any runs there, too. So that took us to the 8-6 loss on Tuesday. So we had a good talk as a team. Well, I don't know if it was a good talk, but we had a talk as a team at practice about little things, how little things are important, and we need to understand these, and the little things end up being big things in the long run. So we came back on Thursday hoping to see if there was any correction, and we ended up with a 19-9 win over the Hancock Owls. So Thursday we started out on fire again. We scored 4 in the first and 7 in the second, so we were up 11-1 after 2, and we felt like we were cruising, and again we had those mental lapse and some physical lapse, and where Hancock scored 8 in the third, and that was the one inning that was a difficult one for us, and that's the one we talk about again and say, hey, it happened again, we got to figure this out. So after that, we shut them out, so that was good that we were able to lock the door after that. We scored 2 more in the third, 4 more in the fourth, and 2 more in the sixth, so it ended up with a 19-9 win. We had 8 hits on the day, still had 3 errors that we're trying to limit that. On the day, Dylan Kiemig, we had a lot of people on the bases, a lot of people running, a lot of people getting around. Dylan Kiemig was 1-for-2 with 4 runs, 2 stolen bases, 3 walks, and 1 RBI. He's our leadoff hitter, so anytime you can get on base and be a table setter is just so important for the team and the guys behind him to move him around the bases. Tyler Earp scored 3 runs with a stolen base. Davis Patzer, our 3 hitter, was 2-for-4 with 2 runs, a double, a stolen base, 1 sacrifice, and 3 RBIs. Landon Weber was 1-for-3 with 2 runs, which was 3 RBIs. Brock Biernold was 1-for-3 with a triple. We'll leave it at that for right now. We can talk about that. It was an oddity in a game I've never seen, with 4 RBIs. Gavin Meyer was 1-for-4 with 2 runs, a triple, and a stolen base, 1 RBI. Nolan Smith was 2-for-4 with a run, a stolen base, and 2 RBIs. Matt Arndt scored 2 runs with a stolen base, and Baxter Kalloff scored 2 runs with a stolen base. That middle of our lineup, our 3, 4, 5, 6 hitters, and Nolan with our 7 hitter, and RBIs in the game. So that's a great sign for us, is that when we have the runners on, we're actually hitting them in, whether they're on from walks or hits in front of them and stuff like that. But super excited to see the bats coming around and how hard we're hitting the ball. Like I said, Brock had a weird situation where he had a grand slam called back for not touching the plate, and they appealed it, and the umpire called him out. So very, very weird situation, but it's too bad. Brock, it's always nice to have a grand slam as a high school kid and stuff. We were able to joke about it that he led the team in triples for a little bit until Gavin hit one, so at least he was able to turn around and forget about it and hit the ball hard again the next few times he was up. And Landon Weber really hit his home run. That it was a true home run. I know it was windy that day, but he got a hold of that one. And somebody said it ended up across Highway 40. I don't know if it rolled across or how it ended up over there, but it hit the side hill, I think, from what I could tell. Pitching on the day, Matt Arndt started. He threw 2 innings. He had 4 strikeouts, 4 walks, 2 hits, 5 runs, and 3 of those were earned. Dylan Kiemig pitched 2/3 of an inning. He had 2 strikeouts, 2 walks, 1 hit, 4 runs, and 0 earned. And Nolan Smith came in and did a nice job for us again, just like he did down in RTR. He threw 3 1/3, striking out 8, walking 2, giving up two hits, no runs, and no earned runs, obviously. So just we need to find a little bit more consistency out of some pitching, and that's okay. It was, you know, we got plenty of time to figure that out. It's a cold, windy day. Sometimes it's difficult pitching conditions with that and staying warm and feeling the ball in your hand and all those small things end up, you know, maybe adjusting the way we're throwing a little bit and whatnot. So, anyways, we came back with a 19-9 win against Hancock on Thursday. Guys were feeling good about that, other than the one inning, and now we're looking forward to moving on for this upcoming week.
Yeah, I know you had a JV game against RTR, did not against Tracy, but the JV got some action on Thursday night.
Yeah,
as well.
Yes, JV played. I had the score. I forgot what it was. Was it like 6-2 or 8-2 or something like that? So yeah, I got some good at bats, and some guys that had not been able to see the field yet got to swing the bat, and they hit the ball hard, which was good to see. We were really thankful that Hancock was able to give us some JV innings. I know the coach there well, and he said if you're okay with us playing some varsity guys. And I said, we're okay with you playing your whole varsity team. I don't care. We just need innings for our big JV team. And
you
so we're very thankful for
there.
Them. Yeah, we're sitting at 19 wow. on the JV team right now. We're looking for more games and everything like that so everybody can get some more playing time.
I think you got them all in that game.
I think Braden got all of them in us from what I could tell.
Right. Okay, and then next week?
Yeah, coming up this week, we go on the road for two games. We head to Tuesday. We go to Raymond to play McRae for a 4:30 start. And then on Thursday, we go to Granite Falls to play Yellow Medicine East for a 4:30 start. So two big conference games for us this week. It'd be nice to get both of those and get on the top side of the conference.
And that Yellow Medicine East game will be on the radio with Bart Hill.
Sounds good. And both really nice fields to go to. Yep. It should be fun, and sounds like better weather coming up this next week, too.
All right. Well, best of luck on those two conference games, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning. Yeah. We'll take this break and come back with track with John Cherb for boys and girls after this.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. Brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Easter's coming, and this week's weekly specials at the Country Butcher are here. And they're as fresh as springtime. Whether you're cooking up a feast or building the ultimate snack board, the Country Butcher in Dawson has you covered. This week at the Country Butcher, deli meats are 10% off and ham loaf also 10% off. So hop on in and fill your basket. We'll help you make this Easter extra tasty. That's the Country Butcher, located in downtown Dawson.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more, awards, and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Let's take a look at some things going on around the area this weekend. Hosting out-of-town guests for Easter? Well, don't cook. Bring them over to the VFW for a hot breakfast and good conversation Easter Saturday today. Pancake breakfast at the Madison VFW, 9 to 11:30. On the menu, pancakes, sausage, coffee, juice, and all the pancake fixings. Free will donations and takeouts are available. This event sponsored by the Lac Proud County DFL. That's today at the Madison VFW Club, 9 to 11:30. Come and go bridal shower for Ashton Oy. Bride-to-be of Lincoln Ostley will be at Madison Mercantile from 10 to noon today. The couple is registered at Amazon, Target, and Crate and Barrel. St. Isidore, the Farmer Area Faith Community Mass schedule for the weekend. On Saturday, Easter Vigil Mass today at 8 p.m. at St. Francis Catholic Church in Benson. And Easter Sunday, 8:30 a.m. Mass at St. John in Appleton. 10:30 a.m. Mass at Sacred Heart in Murdoch.
On Sunday, Grace Lutheran Church of Corral will be having an Easter service at 10:30 a.m. A breakfast will be held at 9:30 a.m. before the service. It's funded by Thrive and Action Dollars. Everyone's welcome. That's at Grace Lutheran in Corral on Sunday morning.
Monica, Easter's coming up.
It sure is, Paul Ramo, and Monica's is in full bloom. I have gotten so much new spring merchandise in, and you will see a lot of color in every room, and I've gotten a lot of jackets and spring striped tops, vests, jeans, shorts, capris, crops, and new reversible dresses, and grab a new dress for Easter. Shop Monica's in Dawson on Chestnut Street, Wednesday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 5, or by appointment. Like me on Facebook and enjoy a dark chocolate sea salt caramel when you arrive.
Back here at the station, John Cherb is in the studio, and we'll be talking about two sports, boys track and girls track. And let's fire away on your choice, boys or girls.
I'll just start down the line. I got boys in the front side. I'll look go over there. We got a chance to go to Monty on Tuesday. The weather was, if we could have kept the sun out, it wouldn't have been so bad. It was a nicer day. It could have been nicer, but still, it was better than what we saw at Lakeview on the week before. So that was a good sign. And I thought our kids really, really looked a lot better with a lot of things they ran, and that was good. I had more confidence with it, and that's just, you like the way. And we got some kids back because we had some kids that were part of the meal. They came over, did one race last week at Lakeview, and then went back for the musical practice, and then same thing, we got everybody back. And so it was nice to kind of get people back into their kind of spots, and I thought the kids really did it really well. Boys 100-meter dash, Griffin Kuchemeister was our top runner. He was 13.52. He was in 19th place. Gabe Lauer was a 22nd, and he was at 13.63. Josh Weber was 23rd at 13.69. Adrian Specht was 25th at 13.73, and Angel Alonzo was 27th at 14.16. 200-meter dash, Mason Bothan, really, he was his first real full race back because he came back last week at Lake. He ran our 4x2 and then turned around and headed back to Dawson for the musical, and he looked he looked very sharp in the 200. He was in lane one and he ended up finishing fourth. Just really looked strong that last probably 125 meters. He really turned another gear, and he was coming on people and looked really good with that. And he finished fourth with a time of 24.66. Dave Torgerson was 14th at 26.43. Joshua Weber is 23rd at 28.19. Griffin Kuchemeister was 24th at 28.46. Scott Asfeld was 25th at 29.06. 400-meter dash, Tanner Callis really had a nice run. He kind of sat a little bit, then he got kind of to a kicker's race going down the straightaway, and he had to hold off a kid. I think what kid was from McCray down the last 100 meters, just enough to, again, he probably had a stride and a half on him, but he was, you could tell the McCray kid was trying to come on him, and he was able to hold him and force him. So Tanner got a nice victory there with a time of 56.47. 800-meter run, Tegan Clark was second overall, a time of 211.73. And then Gavin Carl. Gavin looked really good. That's probably the sharpest I've seen him looking in an eight. He was confident all the way through. And, again, he doesn't have the turnover like Tayden does, so he has to work harder in the race and looked really good coming down the straightaway and ended up finishing third at 212.43, which is not far off his personal best in the 800. He also ran the mile before that. He was second overall in the mile at 501.22. Riley Borman in the hurdles got nicked up a little bit. He ran the hurdles, first time at 110 hurdles, and had a little bit of a, I don't know if it's a hip flexor or if it's he had a little pull hip flexor groin or something that he, and he was a little tender with that. So luckily we got him loosened up a little bit. But he's still first time in the hurdles, ended up finishing 6th at 22.22. In the 300s, he did not run the 300s, so he held him out there. 4x1, again, all these relay teams, you know, we've talked about last week, are rebuilt. And, again, it's a lot of kids in new spots and, again, just learning. And you know, Dave Torgerson was our leadoff man. They finished 5th overall. Dave Torgerson to Riley Borman to Noah Meyer to Garson Gareppi. They went 50.97 to finish 5th. 4x2. They ended up finishing 2nd overall, probably our fastest time we've ran in probably 2 years. We just haven't been having any good 200 kids put together. We've been kind of limited in that, and Now we put some young ones and old ones in there, and it was really good, nice mix in there. Finished second with 140.15. That was Mason Both and Taden Clark, and Taden anchored. You know, he's an 800 guy, quarter miler. We put him in the anchor, the 4x2. Looked very, very sharp. Great turnover down the straightaway in the stride, and did not give up any ground at all, which is really nice to see for, you know, a quarter mile, 800 guy to do that. But he filled in there nicely. Beckett Anderson in there, and then also Dave Torgerson. 4x4 was kind of just basically what we had left over for bodies. We had some kids that were a little sore, and we moved some kids around, and we had some injuries a little bit. We were fighting a little bit there, so we put together a crew there, and that was Taden Clark, Tanner Callis, Gavin Carl, and then also Mason Bothan. And Mason, again, that was his third race of the day, and so he was shot coming back. You could tell. He was coming around the last 100 meters, so it was just, it's like he couldn't find an Uber driver or someone to grab him and get the last 100 meters because he was hurting coming in. But just a great finish for him to, you know, do a triple workout for us. We were third overall, 349.69. Shot put, Noah Meyer was third overall, 39 feet, 3.5 inches. He's getting so close to that 40-foot barrier. See if we can get him over that hopefully sometime soon here. Then Carson Gareppi was 11th, 34.6.5. And then Gabe Lowry is slowly coming along there. He was 12th at 32 feet, 2.25. Discus, Carson also threw a discus. He was 15th overall at 71 feet. High jump, we got Brayson back, first one back. And, boy, you talk about a kid that was rusty. You could tell he was, again, haven't had enough reps at high jump and everything else. And that's a very, very technical event to get into. He still cleared 5'8" with nothing where he usually is at, but he's, you know, like I said, he's three full weeks behind schedule where he should be. But it's a good should be because, you know, you're state, you get a chance to go down into the Caribbean. So I mean, you get some, it's good, some things part of that senior, but he still came back. Landing gear, couldn't get his landing gear out of the way. He cleared, his body was over the bar by a solid, you know, 6 inches easily to a foot. I mean, just he was sharp, but just couldn't get those long legs to kick back up to get out of the way, and so he was kicking it off. I know his three attempts at 5'10" were just every time he was catching it on his calf or his heel every time, and that's just, that comes with more reps. But he finished second overall. Mason Bothan, another one, first, you know, his fourth event there, not a lot of reps either. He went 5'6" and finished third. Beckett Anderson was 6th at 5 foot, and then Caden Brent was 11th at 4'9". Long jump, Brayson was second and long, again, slowly coming along there again, technique and being able to put that spring together and getting confidence on that board. He was second overall, 18 feet, 10 inches. Griffin Kuchemeister was 16th at 14.6.5. Adrian Speck was 18th at 14.1. Angel Alonzo was 22nd at 13.2.25, and Scott Asfeld was 24th at 12 feet 7. Triple jump, Brayson won the triple jump, 40-foot jump there. Josh Weber was 10th at 31 feet, 8.5 inches. Griffin Kuchemeister was 30 feet, 3 inches to finish 12th. Beckett Anderson was 13th at 29, 11 inches. So, again, overall very, very solid through that boys and just working that triple through. Women's, the girls' 100-meter dash, Sadie Hacker was 8th overall at 14.60. Maren Woolley was 12th at 14.86. Boyer was 14th at 15.05. Clarissa Ramirez was 23rd at 16.36, and then Madison Daly was 24th at 16.58. 200-meter, Celeste Jenkins was 9th overall at 31.06. Morgan Anderson, and both these two, Morgan and Celeste, that was their first time running 200s this year of out of the blocks. If they've ran, Morgan hasn't ran 200 since last year, but Celeste is her first time out of the relay into that, so she looked very good at that. Just hopefully we can get some more confidence out of her, work out of her. She'll be, hopefully we can break that 30-second barrier. Macy Corey was 12th at 31.37. Clarissa Ramirez was 22nd at 34.55. And then Madison Daly was 23rd at 34.70. 400-meter run, Makaya Poost was 107.62. She finished third overall. Tali Hursom, new one, put her in there, moved her from the 8 to the quarter. See how she finished 5th at 110.06. Marley Ludvigson was 11th at 113.62. And then Becca Torgerson was 13th at 115.11. 800-meter run, Bryn Glegge was first overall, 229.38, and that's, you know, that's breaking the 230 barrier here this early in April. That's a good sign, and hopefully we've got more to improve, which I think we do. So it's a great, look very confident throughout the run and look sharp. Harper Grunnels was 13th, 258.67. She got herself under three. And that's what we're kind of consistency with her, you know, to get to under that 3 minute barrier for when she runs the 4x8 or runs the open eight. So that was good for her. And then Chloe Glagie was third in the mile at 6:06.05. 100 meter hurdles, Alexis Olsen was second, 19:47. Ella Stock was fourth at 20:38. And then Cameron Olsen was fifth at 21:37. 300 meter hurdles, Alexis Olsen got kind of caught in no man's land. And that, when it's all electronic set ahead of time, you're signed heats. And you can't change it. Once the meet starts, you can't change. Well, she gets to her line the first heat, she's the only girl. She had run by herself, no one else around. And, you know, someone in the stands, well, sees the second heat, there's an opening of the lane. So why didn't they move her back into heat two, make one heat? You can't when you run the electronic system, because the computer will read it when they cross the line. And if they have an odd duck in there, it's not going to match. So that's why, unfortunately, she had to run all by herself, which I thought she looked very relaxed. And maybe just with no one running, just around her, she was more relaxed on her run. But she went from, you know, winning that heat to finishing fourth overall, which is a really nice time there. So that was good to see here in those 300 hurdles. And Cameron Olsen was sixth, one flat, .82, and then Elle Stock was eighth at 101.78. Relays, 4x1, finished fourth, 59.84. And that was Sadie Hacker to Maren Woolley, to Celeste Jenkins, to Marley Ludvigsen. And Marley's still doing that 4x1, then 400 turnaround, so she's handling it well. 4x2, had a little issue on our, it was a 3-4. We had a little issue there, and that just, inexperience, hand didn't get far enough back, and then the stick was off a fraction. So, again, when you're incorporating that stick, and if you're off by a little bit, and then plus we're inexperienced anyways, it hurts a little. But they also, the good thing is they meet a legal handoff. See, when you drop a stick, you have to make a legal handoff. So if the person coming in and drops a stick, doesn't make a complete handoff to the other person, the person that was still coming has to pick it up and still hand it to her. Our anchor person cannot pick it up and run. She has to still hand the stick up. So if our anchor would have picked it up and ran without Celeste giving it to him, we'd have been disqualified. So that's the thing is I was over there, happened to see it, and I hollered him, you know, pick it. And Celeste was smart enough. She picked it up, handed it off, and it was just great. And those two handled it. She still got time because we were in a solid three spot going in. And so we ended up finishing sixth. And we went 205.79, which I think is very – I think we probably would have come darn close to breaking two flat, which would have been a good mark for these kids and just the way they've improved. But, again, it's how you do as a team, and that's the thing is there's not one person that's at fault. You got to have four people all on the same page, and someone's off a little bit, has a moment, they miss something, blink at the wrong time, you may be not handing the stick off. And I thought those four again handled, and you know, it's disappointing, but it's also understanding of – everyone's got to be responsible for their job, and that's the way it goes on. And you got to like the way the kids handled it afterwards. They talked a little bit, understood it, and that's the good thing. Yeah, disappointed, yes, but it was no one's fault, and that's just part of the team part of it. But they were Celeste, Jalissa, Sadie Rosendahl, and Marie Thader. They finished sixth at 205.79. 4x4, I thought, looked very sharp with our crew that we put together. We didn't have our full lineup in, but I thought everybody filled in really well with it, and I think they all can be in this level later. It's just, again, they were second overall, 434.22. That was Brynn Glagie, Jalissa Ramos, Sadie Rosendahl, and Micaiah Poost. 4x8, they finished third overall. Brynn Glagie, Tali Hursum, Micaiah Poost, and Harper Grunholtz, and went 11:19.89. Shot put, Mikey Ann Elias was eighth overall at 24 feet 4 and 3 quarters. Casey Tweet was 15th at 22 feet 2 and 3 quarters, and 20th at 19 feet. Discus, Mikey Ann Elias was 12th at 65.10, excuse me. Casey Tweet was 14th at 63.3, and then Alexis Alonso was 20th at 55 feet 7 inches. High jump, Maria Thayer, our foreign exchange student, had really, we haven't done a lot of work with her, and then she also got over late and missed it when they were setting, putting their marks down, so she didn't really get true marks down. She ended up winning the high jump, going 5 foot, which is a really nice mark. You know, you start pushing that five. I think standard must be to qualify state is 5'3". So she's not far off, and hopefully we can get her into more. And that's a really nice jump for her. Sadie Rosenell was fourth at 4'5", and then Madison Daly was 12th at 3'9". Long jump, Morgan Anderson, that's got to be a personal record for her. She was third all at 13'10.5". Then Annika Lehmann was 10th at 10'3". Then in and then also we had in the triple jump, Morgan Anderson, she was third overall, 30'9.5". And then Alexis Olsen was seventh at 28'10". Scoring wise, I thought our, you know, I thought we did a, we scored better, but we also performed better, and that kind of goes hand in hand. Scoring wise, the girls were third. We were behind Kemi Minna at 167, McRae at 127, and we were at 93, and Monty was in fourth at 84.35, and I believe it was eight teams there. So that's a good mark with our kids. And the boys were third also. Monty with 160.75, Hancock was 113.75, then we were at 93.75, and McRae at 65. And like I said, I thought our kids really did a lot of things, a lot of understanding, and that's part of the growing up we've got. Because, again, you look at what we're incorporating. We're incorporating a lot of inexperienced kids and young kids. You got to like the way they're filling in, and they're learning off each other, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to keep growing. We're going to have some bumps in the road, but you got to like the way it's going.
Okay. Next week.
Next week we got our big meet on Thursday. That'll be the NIBBY invite, the second annual NIBBY invite on Thursday. That'll be a 4 o'clock start with field events and 4:30 at running. I saw a little twinkle of rain in the forecast, which I'm hoping that falls apart, because our problem at the school is going to be when they put the track in late enough, there's a lot of mud out there. A lot of open dirt, not grass grown. Unfortunately, we're not able to get grass grown last fall in there, so if we get any water, we're going to have some issues of trying to keep the mud from getting on the track. And also, you know, with our runways, I'm concerned with our new runways, if how they're going to handle water with trying to plant your foot, especially that long jump is going to be an issue I'm going to have to watch. So that's kind of the thing. I'm hoping that falls apart so we don't have that. But like I said, it's going to be a big meet. It's got 10 teams coming. Dawn's also, she coaches down at Zumbrota. They're coming up. Zumbrota and Mazeppa is coming up, which is a long haul. That's a 4-plus-hour trip, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
They're coming up for the meet. Yeah. So that will be 10 teams. That will be a really, you know, a fun event to have going on, as long as Mother Nature doesn't screw things up there. I'm hoping that we'll get everything through there. And, you know, again, it'll be a good experience. I know everybody was tickled the way it went last year, and I know the NIBBY family has just, what they did last year was so awesome, and the kids from all programs loved it. Coaches loved it. It was just a great atmosphere and energy they brought to the track meet, which hopefully we can continue. You know, hopefully we get that same thing with, you know, now we're moving another team in there, and so it'll be fun. So it'll be a really fun fest on Thursday.
Will you have pole vaulting?
Yes, pole vaulting. Oh, okay. We will have pole vaulting for the first time on our facility since probably 93, I want to say. That's probably the last time we've actually had pole vaulting held at Lacaparo. So that will be a fun thing there, again, just to see how that goes. And hopefully that, you know, we've got five kids been working on pole vaulting a little bit. I'm thinking just the way they've been vaulting a little bit, I think we'll probably have three kids vaulting. One thing that we've never had, and this would be if it, you know, Harper Grunholz is our vaulter for right now, a girl. I know Sadie Rosendahl's been sneaking in a little bit there. We have no school record in the pole vault. We've never had any girl ever compete in the pole vault since it was incorporated, I want to say 98 or so. That was when it incorporated some of that area. We haven't, and maybe in 2000, but it's been 98. I think that's what I saw. So if we can get someone over the bar on a girl's side, that'll be a start of a tradition. Hopefully that will expand. So we'll see how that goes.
Okay. Well, best of luck in that. And like you said, that is really a nice gesture by the NIBBY family. And it's an annual event, and hopefully it will get better every year.
That's the plan. That's hopefully it does.
Okay. John Sherb on Boys and Girls Track. We'll take this break and be talking girls softball right after this commercial.
Brian and Wendy at the Lacaparo Farm Bureau office in Madison wish you an Easter season filled with hope, happiness, and endless possibilities. May the blessings of Easter inspire you to see beauty in every moment. Again, best wishes for a happy Easter from Brian and Wendy at the Lacaparo County Farm Bureau office, Madison.
Hey there, music fans.
Flip Werpy invites you to join him for The Flip Side, your new home for the best rock and roll from 1954 to 1963. It's all happening this Saturday night at 7 o'clock on KOQP. Whether you're twisting, shouting, or just kicking back, it's going to be a rocking good time. See you Saturday night, 7 o'clock, for The Flip Side.
Here's an Easter wish for you from your friends at Madison Bottling Company of Madison, Minnesota. This time of year renews our hope in all God has ahead, for we were blessed eternally when Christ rose from the dead. So may your trust in Him remain constant, strong, and true, for He is working out His best as He lives His life in you. Wishing you a happy and blessed Easter from your friends at Madison Bottling Company, Madison, Minnesota.
I'm senior outfielder Zoe Doctor in the Lacaparral softball team. Thanks to Dugout Club's home run sponsors for their support for our program. I would like to thank Cargill, Clean Sight, Healing Journey Massage by Sue, and Bellingham Legion Post 441.
I'm senior second baseman Kayla Jan, and I would like to thank Lovickson Tiling, Zarbrook Funeral Home and Cremation Service, Dominic Fernals, Fernals Concrete, Appleton VFW Post 4955, and Blake and Ramona Dineen.
I'm senior first baseman and outfielder Jalen Lee, and I would like to thank Clement Electric, Prairie Sun Bank, the Dreyer Doctors, Martinson Foundation, and Q92 FM Radio.
I'm senior shortstop Brandy Meyer, and I would like to thank Ag Country, Tim and Sherilyn Meyer Farms, Home to Home, Appleton Dental Care, and the Appleton Sportsman's Club.
I'm senior pitcher and outfielder Val Piotr. I'd like to thank Piotr Construction, Holloway Rod and Gun Club, Kibble Equipment, and Appleton Veterinary Clinic.
I'm senior third baseman Kendall Shelstead, and I would like to thank Trigested Pioneer Seeds, Madison Chiropractic Center, Traeger Seeds, Joe and Deb Schreier. We thank the Home Run Club sponsors and all donors for supporting our Lacaparral softball team.
Back here at the station, talking girls softball. So, three games to talk about, Scott.
Correct, yep. Yeah, we kicked off the week with a Section 3A opponent, Murray County Central. So that's always a fun game. They've got good teams and a lot of people that I recognize from my hometown of Slayton. So, kind of fun to see. I've got a niece on the other team, too. So that was kind of a fun little matchup. Grandpa and Grandma got to come and cheer for both sides. But it was a dogfight. Like I said, Murray County Central's got a nice squad. They kicked off the first inning scoring two runs. And it's never a very easy, kind of an unnerving feeling. You know, you get down right away. But our girls, just the veteran leadership and the competitiveness in them, we bounced back and answered with three runs in the bottom of the first to take a lead. Kept duking it out back and forth, and in the fourth inning, Murray County Central scored another two runs, so they were up 4-3. Added another one in the top of the fifth, so we were down 5-3, and then our girls rallied in the bottom of the fifth to tie it up, scoring two more runs. So we're heading into the seventh inning with both of us scoring five runs. And we had the top of the order coming up, so a big answer in the seventh inning was essential, and we got it. Got in, I believe it was 1-2-3 right away. Jalen Lee got on base, and you know this, Dick, being a baseball guy, you get that leadoff runner on, it's a big deal. Knowing that all we needed was one run to shut the door was big. So Jalen Lee, our leadoff hitter, gets on base. Kendall Shelstead does what she needs to do as the two-hitter. Brandy Meyer does what she needs to do, and then we end up getting a pass ball, kind of a bang-bang play at the plate. But Jalen, she's such an instinctual base runner. She gets a jump, gets in there. The toss from the catcher to the pitcher was just a little bit off, bobbled, and Jalen slides in safe for a 6-5 win against a salty Section 3A opponent. Right. So that was a big start to the week. At the plate, Jalen was one of our leaders. She went 2-for-4, scoring three runs. Kendall Shelstead was also 2-for-4 with one run, scoring one run. Brandy Meyer was 0-for-2 but did get on base. Ended up having a scoring one run. Callie Kahn was 2-for-3. She scored a run. Zoe Doctor was 1-for-3. Val Piotr was 1-for-3, and that should add up to our 8 hits. With a big W there. Amaya Swatsky pitched for us all 7 innings. She gave up a total of 7 hits, 5 runs, 4 of them were earned, and she had 12 strikeouts and 1 walk. So a solid outing there, and like I said, just a quality win for us to kick the season off. And then our JV played their JV, and they were clicking on all cylinders too for a 17-3 victory on the JV field. So that was fun to see.
Good.
We have some real up and comers coming there, and you know this season's going to be fun. But we've got kids that are ready to compete. So it'll be when the turnover happens, I think they'll be ready. Then on Tuesday we hosted McRae. This is our first conference game of the season. And since McRae is in the northern part of our conference, we play a doubleheader with them. And we started it off a 4-inning victory. Again, our lineup's pretty salty from top to bottom. So in the first inning, we were the home team. What happens in these doubleheaders is the host team picks what game you want to be the home team in, and then the other game you're the visiting team. So I'd selected us being the home team in the first game, and we scored 7 runs in the bottom of the first, which is a great momentum booster. And then we answered again in the second with 8 more runs. So we were up 15-0 after 2 innings, scored 1 more in the third. And the great thing about this game, I'm looking at the box score, and there's nothing that happened on the other side because Val Piotr threw a perfect game, 4 innings. Yeah, no hits, no walks. And the exciting thing about this, Paul, number one is this doesn't happen very often, right, where you throw a number one a no-hitter, but number two a perfect game. And she got into a couple little predicaments where she got behind maybe 3-0 or 3-1, but she battled, she trusted her mechanics, she kept fighting, and won those battles. And in the last inning, I was sitting in the dugout calling pitches and thinking, God, don't call the wrong pitch, because I knew exactly what was going on. You know, come on, Val, hit your spots, you know, and base your softball gods be looking over us. And all of a sudden I hear Brandy Meyer behind me say, hey, nobody's been on first base yet. And that was kind of an exciting moment because it just shows that our girls are paying attention to the game. And so, you know, you never want to jinx a pitcher when we get to this point. And Val gritted her teeth. And it was kind of fun because after the game we were talking, and I said to the girls, geez, we played really well defensively. We didn't have any errors. We obviously swung the bat really well. Our catcher, Eva Traeger, did a nice job kind of bragging everybody up. And I had kind of turned my back intentionally to Val, so she was kind of wondering, you know, hey, what about me? I think I threw a pretty good game here. And then I had grabbed the game ball as we walked there, and I said, well, I guess we should probably acknowledge this perfect game that Val just threw. So it was kind of fun. Got to give her a hug and congratulate her on an outstanding goal, and our team was very excited for her. So super job for Val, and very proud of her for all the work she's put in.
Also, you know from baseball that if somebody's in that position, you just leave that person alone, you know.
Yeah.
She might be sitting all by herself on one edge, one side of the dugout when the team is up.
Yeah, it's almost like you have the plague at that particular point. Right. I don't know if our girls know that, but I've been lucky enough to be in that situation a couple times, and I remember people really not talking to me or just, and you're locked in, right? And I think Val was locked in. She was in a zone. I never did ask her if she knew what was happening there or not, but I could tell that she was definitely in a zone and competing. So it was really fun to see because, like I said,
sure was, yeah.
Typically people stick a bat out at some point and things happen,
yeah.
But not in this game.
Okay.
So our hitters, Jalen Lee was 2-for-3 with scoring 2 runs. Kendall Shellstead was 1-for-2, scored 2 runs. Brandy Meyer, 2-for-2, scoring 2 runs. We only had 7 hits. McRae did have 6 errors, but we got on the bases. There was a lot of walks, 9 walks, and then when we got on the bases, we were running them well. So Yeah, big victory to start the day off, and then we slid into game two, which we were the visiting team in this particular game. And again, we came out and we answered right away with a six-run first inning. Shut them down in the bottom of the first. We scored one in the second, six more in the third, and five more in the fourth. So we were up 18 to nothing. We were able to get some kiddos in the game in both games that maybe don't see as much varsity time, but there are young up-and-comers that are going to be there next year. So we've been lucky enough to get them some varsity innings log already this season, which is nice. Jalen Lee, Greta Fernholz was 1-for-1 for us. Kendall Shelfstead was 1-for-3. Raya Borsted, 1-for-1, scoring a run. Callie Kahn was 2-for-2, scoring 3 runs. Zoe Doctor was 1-for-3, scoring 3 runs. Val Piatta was 3-for-4, scoring 2 runs. She tore the cover off the ball on the state. And so just a lot of hitting. We had 9 total hits, scoring 18 different runs. And so Maya Swatsky threw this game for us. She, in 4 innings, she gave up 6 hits, 2 runs, 1 of them earned, had 9 strikeouts and 1 walk. So again, just another victory, and sitting in a pretty good spot. I believe we are 4-1 right now overall, and heading into some difficult competition coming up here this week. So,
yeah. Well, let's talk about that.
Who
are you playing this week?
Yeah, we have on Tuesday we're going to head to Danube to play RCW, and I've been watching their scores a little bit, and I'm intrigued with what they have. I think there's a Heinrichs girl that is throwing it pretty well, and that's always challenging when you see a good pitcher. And I just watching their scores, I think that's going to be a competitive game, and one that, like we talked to our girls about, we've got to keep coming in with a focus and a drive and hold on to this momentum. And so that'll be a big start to the week. We'll see how that goes. And then YME travels to us on Thursday. YME has a veteran pitcher who's very tough, and Bailey Snell. We've done all right against her, but she's one of the better pitchers in the area. So that'll be a really big conference and section test for us. And then on Friday we travel to Bold and take on a difficult team there. They have a Flan girl that's a 9th grader that's been pitching since she's been in 7th grade, and again another section opponent where this week we're going to be dogfighting a little bit to see how things go. So it should be fun, and hopefully we can do what we need to do.
Okay.
Our C squad has had, they had a week two. They had one game last week where they hosted Montevideo. Our C squad consists of 7th, 8th, and 9th graders, and Montevideo was able to come in and get us 8-18 on that particular game. And then this week they've got a busy week. They've got a home game on Tuesday against Benson, and a home game on Friday against YME. So. Good to get some innings in for these young girls, and keep improving and getting better every day.
Sure. And for the varsity, those first two matchups are doubleheaders because they're conference games?
No, they're in the southern part of our conference, and so they'll just be single games. Yep.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's kind of we went to that because we wanted to give ourselves an opportunity to see some section opponents.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started a couple years ago, every conference game was a doubleheader. Well, with the size of our conference, that left us little opportunity to do anything other than conference games.
Right.
And so this is really nice because, we can see an MCC, we can see a Bold. We get to go down to a Wabasso tournament and possibly see Edgerton, Southwest Christian, Wabasso, teams like that that are in our section and that we're going to potentially compete against. We saw RTR, who used to be in our conference but is in our section. So it's just nice knowing that we have a little bit of a scouting report heading into section play, and we know what these teams are about each year and what they have and how we line up to see if there's anything fancy or tricky that we want to try to do to gain an advantage.
Right. Okay. Well, best of luck in those games, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
Super. Thank you so much. Happy Easter.
Yep. And that's Scott Swatsky on girls softball. We'll take this break and finish out another coach's show after this.
The team at Madison Hardware Hank in downtown Madison has been hard at work changing inventory and expanding selections for you to have a great local shopping experience. Check out Milwaukee sockets, wrenches, and pliers. Ask about their inventory of Forney welding materials. Shop new items for weatherization of doors and windows. Thinking about roof repair? Check out their patching, caulking, and sealing supplies. Spring is a great time for painting. Select shades by Clark & Kensington. Ask the Madison Hardware Hank team to dispense your paint using their upgraded automatic paint dispenser and take advantage of their ability to color match. Visit Madison Hardware Hank and enjoy shopping their expanded inventory for all your spring projects.
This Easter, United Prairie Bank with offices in Madison would like to wish you peace in your hearts and a deeper faith than you ever thought possible. Tiny miracles around every corner and a world filled with people, places, and traditions you hold closest in your hearts. Because you're also very dear to us, happy Easter from your friends at United Prairie Bank of Madison, member FDIC, and an equal opportunity lender.
Don's Food Pride in Appleton, Tim's in Dawson, and the Montevideo Market has what you need for your Easter celebration with family and friends. Check out these ham specials. Ham portion, just $1.99 a pound. A 4-pound farmland boneless ham, $12.99. Other great buys, Pillsbury pie crust, 2 for $7, or gold medal flour, 5-pound bag, $2.99. All three stores will be open Easter Sunday morning from 8 to 11. Customer satisfaction is always first. Happy Easter from the management and staff at Don's Food Pride in Appleton, Tim's in Dawson, and the Montevideo Market.
Hey, want to make your next meal a little ordinary? Well, head to Quick Trip. Hey, we are so back serving up our legendary No Ordinary Chicken. Yeah, your dinner is hand-breaded, fried to perfection, ready to eat for tonight's dinner. Or you can buy it cold, sealed fresh for tomorrow's lunch. You know, we love to make life easier for you. This isn't just any chicken. It's Quick Trip's No Ordinary Chicken. Stop in your local Quick Trip today and taste the difference.
All you and I need to do is lift our heads a little, lift our eyes a little, and look up to celebrate Jesus' life, because He is our life. He is alive. This is Pastor Kendall, and all of us from Grace Lutheran and Providence Valley Lutheran Church in Dawson invite you to worship with us this Holy Week and Easter. Join our evening worship at Providence on Thursday, just a hop, skip, and a step south of Dawson, and Friday worship at Grace Lutheran, both services at 7 p.m., again this Thursday and Friday. Then join us for our Easter celebration at Grace Lutheran at 8 a.m. and 9:30 a.m. for holy worship, and at Providence Valley at 10:45 a.m. Jesus is alive. He's alive. We need only throw back our heads, open our arms, and let that truth flood in. Let Him flood in. Breathe life into our lives once again.
Back here at the studio to close out another program. Want to wish everybody a happy Easter from the entire coaching staff, from Lacaparo and Dawson Boyd, and their school system as well. Okay, I got a couple jokes here. I learned the hard way that it's a very bad idea to tell secrets to a clock. Why is that? Because time will tell. And Paul Ramo can identify this. Why didn't the hamburger buns get along? They always had a beef between them. And speaking of that, I want to thank one of the Wurstlagers, it was a Jordan, for listening to the broadcast on Thursday. Paul Ramo and Bart Hill and the rest of us up in the press box got hungry, and he supplied us with some hot dogs and hamburgers. So thank you very much for that. It was a nice treat, a nice surprise as well. So thanks for listening, and tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
9:58 here at Q92. Great music for Dawson, Boyd, and Clarkfield on Q92.